It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Great day. We're in the book of Romans, studying Romans chapter 10. And so please, if you'd open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, we'll begin the study there, beginning to read with verse 1. And as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Again, that'd be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And then our email address would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study as we look forward to the reading of the precious Word of God, Romans chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What wonderful scripture verses to read today. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to enjoy this precious study today. I ask that you will guide and lead us, because this section of scripture here, as all of your precious word, is so wonderful, so powerful. And Father, please, that you'll just take the words that's proclaimed today and speak so clearly, Father, into the ears, all the way down to the heart of all those that are listening, that they today will come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, and be saved. And if they're saved, Father, this study today should be just such a blessing to them, should be just a joy to them, to enjoy just listening to the precious word, knowing and remembering the days that the day that had come when we were convicted in our hearts of our sin and come by faith to Jesus, and then all those days and maybe months and years that have passed, the joy of being a true believer in Jesus Christ, not just someone that was religious, but someone, Father, that has a personal relationship with you. So please guide and lead us today, Father, through your precious word. And I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus' name. Amen. So we come back, and we've kind of gotten down through the first three verses of this chapter, but we're going to review them just a little bit to kind of build into the rest of it. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They're God's chosen people. Why aren't they saved? If you're one of those that believe in a universal salvation, what are we going to do with that verse of Scripture? Why does Paul pray for Israel if there's a universal salvation? There is no universal salvation. Salvation comes when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, convicts your heart, shows you that you're a sinner, and He will at some point in time in your life, that there is so much evidence in God's creation, in His precious Word, in your heart that shows you that there's something missing there, and you're very conscience drives you to knowing that there's something wrong, acknowledging that you're a sinner, and the Spirit of God shows you all that and then brings you right to the door of the Lord Jesus, and all you have to do is accept Him and invite Him into your heart to abide forever. And salvation is yours forever. So I hope that you've trusted in Jesus. But again, Paul calls them brethren, not because they're saved, but because they're brother Jews. And so my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, He wants them saved so bad, and they have rejected that precious gospel, and maybe you have done the same. You've kept saying, no, that's not it. I'm going by the tradition of my church. I'm going to listen to the preacher. And the preacher doesn't preach that, doesn't preach as we have read over in the other verses here, the 9th and the 13th verse. The 13th verse is, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If there's a universal salvation, or if you just need to follow certain doctrines in your church and not have this personal relationship with Christ, why does Paul speak this? It's because we have been duped and deceived in many cases. We need to come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him alone. Call upon Him. Look at verse 2, chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." In other words, they have such a great desire to be saved. They have a great desire to know God and to walk after God, but they think that their salvation comes through their works, not through a personal relationship delivered by God's grace into our hearts, not by some work that we can do. We try to work our way there, and they have such a zeal for God. And a lot of people today have the same thing. I know a lot of folks that attend a lot of different churches, a lot of different denominations, and they work so hard every day, and they serve and they work and everything, and yet they do not have this personal relationship with Christ. It's a religion that they serve, and they do that so that they can work their way to heaven. And most of those folks don't know if they're going to get to heaven or not, because they hope so. And that's so sad, because you can know for sure, without a question, without a doubt, that you're born again and you're saved and you're going to spend eternity with God the Father and God the Son and the Spirit. Father, what a day that is when our Father does that for us. And He does it through His Son, the Lord Jesus. So please, that you look to the Lord Jesus and realize that just to have a zeal for God is not enough. You need to know Him. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness..." Now, that's a good question there, and this is, again, kind of review here, but it's worthy of our time and worthy of our review, and that is the righteousness that can only be had by and through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a righteousness that you can have on your own, because it says in the rest of that verse, "and going about to establish their own righteousness." And I'm afraid that maybe that's what you're trying to do. I'm not talking about joining a certain church. I'm talking about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I want you to come by faith. Meet Him at the cross, because that's where He took all your sins away. And just meet Him there. And, "Jesus, please forgive me. I'm a lost sinner. Save me." And He will. And He'll put that hope and that promise in your heart. And so please look to Him. But the first is God's being ignorant of God's righteousness. The righteousness we receive when we have and have the commitment. We've called upon the Lord Jesus for our salvation, and He has delivered. He's given it to us by grace only. And going, but instead of that, going about to establish your own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, there's a difference between your own righteousness, trying to work your way to heaven, and the righteousness of God that that is given to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please trust in the Lord Jesus. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." How can that be? It's because our Savior, the Lord Jesus, walked on this earth for 33 years, and during that 33 years, He fulfilled the law every bit. Every part of the law He fulfilled. He was perfect, you see. He's perfect, His precious blood is perfect, and He came down on this in this old wicked earth and wicked world, and yet there was not one of the laws that was set down by Moses, given from God to Moses, that the people, that Israel is so studying so much and working so hard to keep, and you may be doing the same thing in your own religion. You're trying to keep something that's impossible to keep. And so what that is telling us here is that for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's fulfilled it. He's completed it. He's died on the cross for us. And because, you see, the law says the wages of sin is death. And so someone had to die, a perfect sacrifice, an innocent sacrifice. That's God's plan. It had to be the shedding of blood. It's God's way. And that's what was delivered. And so when Christ died on the cross, the end of the law for righteousness, it was fulfilled to everyone that believes. You see, it's not that just Christ died on the cross and completed that work. It's that you and I make a personal commitment to Christ and call upon Him for our salvation and be saved, be born again. And so, you see, it all comes together, and let's back up just again in verse 3, verse 2 even, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," they're ignorant of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the person Jesus, "and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." By trying to do their own way, the righteousness of God is again the person Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." He has fulfilled it by us trusting in Him. Then we are partakers in His death. We are partakers in His righteousness because He gives us His righteousness. And that's what it's talking about in verse 3, the righteousness of God. And then here again, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness because He has fulfilled everything and we must believe. Verse 5, "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Okay, you got a choice. You can live under the law, trying to keep it, and you can't. The wages of sin is death, and there's nothing you can do with your sin, no matter how good you think you are or how perfect someone tells you you are. You're lost. You're dying. You're on your way to hell. The second that you take the last breath here upon this earth, you'll wake up in the place of torment. And that's where you're going to spend the rest of time. And when time is over and the final judgment comes, then you'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. For eternity. That's the period of time. And so as we look at this now, once again in verse 5, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That was Moses taught. However, no one can keep it. That's the reason when the law came, so did the tabernacle. We've talked about that. That's where the offering, the sacrifices were brought, and that sacrifice that was there stood for the cross of Christ. It stood for the shedding of blood. It stood for the innocent sacrifice. Everything was pointing forwards to when Jesus completed it upon the cross, which He has now 2,000 years ago. So they looked forwards in the Old Testament. We look back. We're all saved by grace, not by works, and that's what Paul is trying to help these folks to see, and I hope that you see it as well as we look through the Word of God. chapter 10, verse 6 of Romans. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to say, Christ down from above. Or, verse 7, who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. It's Deuteronomy 30, 12, starts with 12th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. In other words, that's already done. Don't look for Christ. Now, Christ will return. He's going to come and get his church. He's going to meet us in the air. That's called the rapture. Then he'll come again 7 years later, and we will be with him at that time, and he will put an end. He will close out the battle of Armageddon, and that's going to be a bloodbath because the Lord Jesus is going to destroy all the wicked that's here on earth. What a horrible day. He's going to call in all the birds of the air, and they're going to feast upon kings and princes and presidents and people that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ that are alive at that time. So you see, that's already done. He has already come from heaven. He has already ascended into the deep. He did that upon when he came and died upon the cross, went into the place of paradise and came out of paradise and went home. And he has ascended back home. And so then we come here in the ninth verse of chapter 10 of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, it all comes by faith, not by works. You can't join a certain church. You can't be baptized. And those things have nothing to do with your salvation. They have everything to do with service and fellowship and growth and all those things. All those things are wonderful. All those things are necessary. But all those things come after salvation. After salvation, millions of babies are baptized for no reason at all. There's nothing in the Word of God that tells us that. That's a doctrine that came through from another time, another church, actually, as it was brought forward. It was not in God's Word at any point in time. Baptism in the New Testament was to come after salvation, after you have called upon the Lord Jesus, as verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you say, yes, I want to be saved, call upon him. The scripture continues here. We'll just read on down through these verses and then come back to them again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, don't miss that. And it's not something that you do every day. This is something that you do once in your life. Now, I call upon him many times through the day. I thank him. I praise him for all that he has given me. But I do not call upon him for salvation. Lord, please save me. It's another day. Please save me. I hope I'm saved. Because if you're doing that, you're not saved at all. Salvation is a free gift that is given to you by God. It's brought to you through his Son, the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God brings you to that point, and you say, yes, I believe. Yes, I have faith. So please look to the Lord Jesus. Let's back up now again and look at these verses of Scripture. Verse 9, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How difficult is that? Confession with the mouth. You speak it. yes, I want Jesus to save me. It's not any special words. But the other part, thou shalt believe in thy heart. You see, that's where it stops many times. People begin, they make a statement verbally, but their heart's not touched by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must do this convicting. You must be lost before you can be saved. You need to know that you need a Savior before you need a Savior. So please come by faith to Jesus. But you need to do that when the Spirit of God, and I hope the Spirit of God today is convicting your heart right now. Please, that He is convicting your heart. You need to be saved. You need to be a child of God. But it only comes if you believe that He is the Savior, and the Spirit of God can direct you right down that path so that you'll say, yes, I want to be born again. And so that acquires then not only the mouth for confession, the mind to believe, and the heart to accept it. And so then the Spirit of God comes to abide within your heart forever. And so please trust in Him today. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, just what we talked about, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We've got that. The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now that word ashamed there means disappointed. If you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today, you will never be disappointed for that decision. You will never be ashamed of that decision. You'll never regret that decision that you came by faith to Jesus. Never. And so please, please trust in Jesus today and begin to say, oh, I'm so wicked. He can't save me. If you are being convicted right now, He can save you because that door's still open. I believe there's a point in time where you cross that path, cross that line, whenever you have said no to the Lord Jesus, no to the Spirit of God so many times, it's over. And there's not going to be ever another opportunity for you to be saved. But if you're listening today and you're burdened about your sin, then you look to Jesus today. Don't tarry, because this may be the last time that call comes to you. So please trust in Him today and call upon Him. And you will never be disappointed. You'll never be sorry because you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. I just said in the verse before that, you're never going to be disappointed. What did that 12th verse say? It said there isn't any difference whether you're a Jew or a Greek or what nationality. It doesn't matter. What color you are doesn't matter. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Never disappointed. Never disappointed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just kind of ends it there, doesn't it? But actually, it's not the ending at all. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please call upon Him. Trust in Him today. Kind of gets right on into the need to take this precious word out in the following verses here. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? See, it begins. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Well, how can they believe unless they have heard? And how can they hear unless someone proclaims it? That's the reason for this wonderful radio ministry that we have. We've had it for so many years, and we just continue to proclaim the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ across these airways. And I just beg you that you do not miss it, that you have listened. And I know many folks, and I'm very thankful that many folks listen to this program. But I ask you that you do more than listen, that you respond. And that response is not to come to this church, and I'd love to have you here. I'd love to help you to grow. Once you've come by faith to Jesus, I'd love to help you grow. I'd love to help you come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. It's the reason we give out the website and the email address and the phone number and everything. So that if we could do that, we would do just that. But it all comes by hearing the Word of God. So I ask that you listen today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once again, then how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, a preacher is not necessarily someone like me that enjoys and has the privilege of preaching the Word of God from the pulpit and on Sunday night and Wednesday night with Bible studies and Tuesday afternoon with the ladies' Bible study that they have. And we take every opportunity, Sunday school class, and we just have a great time. We enjoy that. You know, it's just a joy to open the Word of God. And we do it maybe a little different here than most because we do it verse by verse, just like we do the study over the radio. That's the same way that I preach. That's the same way I teach Sunday school. That's the same way I teach Sunday night and Wednesday night. We all do it verse by verse because, you see, if I'm doing it verse by verse, it's very difficult for me to misinterpret the Scripture because you're reading it right along with me. If you don't bring your own Bible, we got pews in the Bibles in the pews that you can read and follow right along. And at any point in time, I don't understand this. I heard what you said, but I don't quite understand what you're saying. And so we need to back up and go through it again, and we do. And that's the reason on the radio that we do review most of the time, just because it's worthy of review to hear these great words again repeatedly. I know that I heard them many times before I surrendered to the Lord Jesus and was saved. I just kept hearing them and kept reading them and listening to them on a tape. And the wonderful messages of salvation, and these were part of those messages, and also back in Isaiah and many places through the Scripture, that just continued, and the Spirit just continued to penetrate my heart and work on me. And I finally said, yes. Why it took me so long, I have no idea. But I can promise you that I have never been disappointed, never been disappointed from the time that I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And that's many years ago, because that was back in 1975, many years ago. And I have never been disappointed. And without question, the Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. We receive salvation. We receive the everlasting life. But those things are just part of it, because right here, right now, the joy and the privilege of being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a true Christian, is wonderful. The peace and the joy that exists in our lives because we have a Savior that we can call upon and he will hear our every plea. So please that you just trust in him today. It continues here in the 15th verse, and it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, you think that is just talking about maybe preachers only, but that's not it at all. It's anyone. It's you if you know the Lord Jesus and you're a sharer of the gospel, which you should be. Every believer should be sharing the gospel. You know, the church, it's a wonderful place for you to come. It's a wonderful place for you to be saved. But you really, whoever brings you, should share the gospel with you. You trust in the Lord Jesus. Then you come here to grow, because we're here to feed the sheep. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, please come, and we'll introduce the Lord Jesus to you. And I just pray that you'll be saved and born again, and then we can enjoy this growth. But you don't have to change until you're saved. Because if you do, you're trying to work your way to heaven, and that doesn't work. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You must trust in Him each and every day. Verse 13 again, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Please trust in Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?